You know, the problem with the nation of Israel was very simply this: they couldn't see the forest for the trees. And the problem is, they were in the wilderness, and God said, I'm going to give you this promised land, and all you have to do, but you have to go in and possess that land. You have to take it. I'll be with you, but you're going to have to go in and take this land. And that's the same thing he's telling us today. And it's so easy to get bogged down in what's going on in this world. If you listen to the news long enough and all these other things, you can get very discouraged. But what God wanted them to do in Israel was, don't look at the desert, look at the promised land. And what God wants you and I to look, he wants to look at the whole picture. Not just this little planet we live on, but look at eternity. And God said, if you put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So we have to put the kingdom of God first. It's really very interesting. I read a book one time called Angels on Assignment. And that was many years ago, and I really don't remember too much about the book. But the issue is that we're on assignment. Now, we have to remember, we're on an assignment here. We're not just here floundering around. We're not just here seeing if we can make it through. That's not the issue. We're here on assignment by God. If you ever listen to Rush Limbaugh, he says he's on assignment from God. Well, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I've heard his testimony, and I'm not sure where he's at in the thing. But he's always saying, I'm on assignment from God. If God's people could just get that we're on an assignment from God. This earth is a temporary thing. We're just here. We came from God who's in eternity, outside of time. God created time just for us for a certain reason that I'm going to talk about in just a minute. And then eventually we're going to go into eternity with him. And we have to understand that. From the very beginning, God had a plan, and his plan was very simple. He wanted men and women to rule this world with him, a joint effort between God and man. So he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he told them very simply, go out and take charge of this world and rule it under my authority. You are my ambassadors on the earth, and you rule this earth with me. Now, that's exactly what God wants us to do today. But not just for now. Because this earth is also a test for you and I to determine where God's going to place us in eternity. If you study that, you find it out. We've been studying it on Sunday night. We're going to go through our life on this earth. God's going to test us at the end. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And then he's going to create his kingdom. And he's going to place us in the kingdom according to how we handled our assignment here on the earth. That is the most important thing in your life and mine. You thought, well, I thought it was making money. I thought it was raising kids. I thought it was doing all these things we do, having a job and all this kind of thing. No, that's the place where we are ambassadors. It's in these things. It's in these simple things and common things that we do is where we are ambassadors. So for the very beginning, God's plan was that we would rule and reign with him in eternity. That was the purpose of the creation, that was the purpose of the Garden of Eden, that was the purpose of Adam and Eve, and it's the purpose of you and I. That is why we're here. Not just for this short period of time we're on the earth, but this is going to test us to see what we're going to do in eternity. And that's the whole issue. God's plan always has been, we would go through this time on earth, go to be with him forever, and rule and reign in his creation. That is what we're, it's not a deal where we just go up and we just go on vacation for eternity. It's not that kind of thing. God has placed us here to test us, just like he tested the nation of Israel in the wilderness. And incidentally, they failed, all but two. And we talked about that last time. God shows us the failures. God shows us the successes in the Old Testament to give us an idea of what we're supposed to be doing in this life. And the whole issue is living under His authority, listening to His word, and obeying Him. It is really not a complicated thing. It's very simple. That's what we're supposed to be doing now. And what we have here, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever we have on this earth, this is very simply just to prepare for eternity. It was never designed to be the whole thing. And many of us live like this is all there is. We live like lost people. We live like this earth is all it is, and we're going to live a certain amount of time, and then we're going to die. And some people think that's it. Well, they haven't read the Word of God, because that's just the beginning. The beginning is when you die. Are you listening to me? The beginning in the Christian life is when you die to yourself and start obeying God and listening to Him. And that's the reason we're here. There really is no other reason. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they grumbled, they complained, they said, they finally came to the place, oh, we'd rather die here and take the promised land. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you what you said. Now, isn't that interesting? And a lot of times we do that here in this life. We make statements out of our mouth that are contrary to the Word of God for our life. And obviously, that's not a good thing. So this life is here as a test. I remember when I was in school. The school year was divided up into semesters, and during the semester you'd have little tests and so forth, but then at the end of the semester was a final. And that's exactly what's going on here. God gives us little tests in this thing, a little test in that thing. He allows a little pressure to be put on us to see how we're going to react, to see if we've learned the Word of God and understand how to react under pressure of this life, because there's a lot of pressures in this life. And so He continues to test us. He puts us in pressure situations, because what in these pressure situations, what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart. You see. So you can kind of test yourself and see how you're doing. And God, in fact, God said that. The Apostle Paul said that. Test yourself. See how you're doing. See if you need to make some corrections. It amazes me to no end that there are churches that do not teach that people have responsibility. I don't understand that. All they teach is you come to church, you do whatever we tell you to do, and then you're okay and you can go home for a week. And it's not that kind of thing at all. You learn at church what you're supposed to be doing during the week, you see. And we are responsible to God, and we can mess up. We have a will. God's not going to make you do something. But He's going to encourage you. He's going to teach you. He's going to give you pictures in the Old Testament of how this whole thing works in somebody's life. And He makes it very clear we're on assignment. Jesus had an assignment. He kept saying, my assignment is to go to the cross and die. That was His assignment. Also, He had an assignment of teaching His disciples so they would teach others, which He did. But He said, basically, my assignment at this point, in this life, in time, just like you and I are, He said, my assignment is to go to the cross and die. And He kept telling His disciples that. They said, oh, no, Lord, that can't possibly be right. Well, they didn't understand their condition. They didn't understand they couldn't do it on their own. They didn't understand that it wasn't by works, it was by grace of God, and God had to come by His grace and die on the cross so that we can become eternal children of God, and so that we can take the promised land that God has given each one of us as individuals, as well as the church, you see. We've got to get the concept of this thing. We have got to understand what this is all about, what life is all about, what God's plan is, what he's going to do now, but particularly what he's going to do in the future. It is so easy to get bogged down in this world and tired and weary and just say, I'm ready to quit. I'd just soon check out. There probably isn't anybody that hasn't said that at one time or another here. And, you know, you keep saying that, and you'll get what you say. And it's possible to fail the test. All but two in the nation of Israel failed the test. Now, that's amazing. That's not a very good percentage. So God said, I'm going to do it different in New Testament times than the time that we live. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody and leave them. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, fills your heart, and he says, I'm here to stay. I like that part. I'm here to stay. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I don't care what some false teacher says. Are you listening to me? And how sincere they say it. So, the results of what we do in these tests of life determine what we're going to be doing later. So, we can either hinder, a pressure of life will either hinder us or it'll help us be stronger and we'll move on in the things of God. Because we all go through this. Now, God's testing us and tells him what to know about us, how we'll respond in eternity to him. You see, because we're not going to be robots in eternity either. I think sometimes we think, well, God will be in charge and we'll just do whatever he says. Well, you're going to have a will in eternity. And God's going to know how you react now to all these details of life, so he'll be able to determine where to place you in eternity in his kingdom. Because he wants every single person to rule and reign with him. That is his desire. That's what his plan is. That's what he wants to do. Now, so what we should do when we go through a trial and a test, we ought to just run and be closer to Jesus every time. We ought to read more of the Word of God. We ought to press into him. We ought to pray more, even though we ought to pray all the time. But particularly when trials and tribulations come, because they will come. Now, we need to confess something like this. Jesus is my lover, my provider, my defender, my sustainer, and I will worship my God in Jesus' name. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, you are my lover, my provider, my defender, my sustainer, and I worship you, my God, in Jesus' name. And you know, we need to keep the idea of, we need to keep an eye on eternity all the time. Because you shouldn't get so worried about this world. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to make a difference. It doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for people, because we should. We should help everybody we can, but we're just preparing for something else. You know, when I went through basic training in the Army, I was just preparing for something else. The basic training wasn't it. Are you listening to me? They were preparing me, and according to how I did in basic training and their needs were in the Army, they would place me in a certain position. Are you listening? Now, that's the way it works. This is basic training. This is boot camp. That's all this life is. It is just a little bit of what's going to go on forever. So don't get all bent out of shape in this life. You know, every time you get in some kind of a problem, come to Jesus. We need to do it every day. We need to realize every single day. I've told this before, but when I was in the Army, I didn't have to worry about what to do for the day. They had it all planned out. All I had to do was get my uniform on and get ready. And I said, he said, we're going to do this today. We're going to a certain place. We're going to march here. And I say, yes, sir. And we did it. And you see, I could have stayed in the barracks and ended up in the brig. I could have ended up in jail. I had a choice. Well, you see? And so we have a choice in this life. We have a choice which will determine what we're going to do in the next life. And so we have to pass the test. We have to press on in what God's doing. It's kind of like a football game where you're behind 10 points and you only got 10 minutes left in the game. Are you going to quit or are you going to press on and attempt to win that game? And a lot of people do. Some teams give up. You see, and we are not the ones that give up. We want to be, Jesus, what he wants is overcomers. We've been talking about this. Those that overcome the problems of this life, keep on moving, take their assignment and complete it, and then they're ready for the next one with Christ in his kingdom. Are you listening? That's the idea. This is only one assignment. We got more coming. We got maybe 40, 50, 60, 70 years here, the folks that are here, some more. That's all we have on this assignment, and that's going to determine the next assignment, you see. And that's the way it is. God's always going to have something. It just gets better and better, though, I'm happy to say, you see. And so the most important thing in your life should be doing the assignment of God in everything that you do. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. We're in a spiritual kingdom now, but it's going to be a physical kingdom later, spiritual and physical. Now it's spiritual. All right, let's go to Numbers in the Old Testament, 14. And we're going to talk about what kind of an attitude is going to let you take the land of your life. I call it the promised land or the land of your life. Go to Numbers 14. Numbers 14 and verse 24. Now I want you to see this. I want you, what kind of an attitude is going to allow you to take the land of your life now? And one attitude is, I got to get out of selfishness and get into godliness. Are you listening? Selfishness will mess it up. Numbers 14, 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. And I want you to see something else, very important you ought to underline in this verse. And his seed shall possess it. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are going to possess what you do with your assignment in this life. That's why it's important. You see, if you don't have any children, grandchildren, whatever, you got, most people have nieces and nephews. If you don't have that, there's always somebody in church you can bless. Are you listening to me? Now, what we do in this not only affects us, but it affects our children. He said, if you take the promised land in your life, your children are going to possess it. Hallelujah. I like that. If you get your attitude right, if you get your assignment right, if you're obedient to the word of God and you do it, then your children are going to be blessed. You see, most of the time what happens is we raise our children in the world. We don't come to Christ till we're older. And then we got to face that mess we have, but don't give up. Don't ever give up, because wherever you can start, start there. And your children, eventually, God will bless them. Are you listening to me? If we take our assignment, they're going to be able to take their assignment. But if we don't take ours, they may die in the wilderness like all the rest of the Israelites, you see. So that's an important word here is Caleb, he's one of them went into the promised land. He had a different spirit than those other folks. There's other folks all say, man, I hate that this life is terrible. We just can't make it. And there's too many problems. And I don't know if God can even do it. And they just complain. We want to go back to Egypt, live in the world, and die. instead of let's keep moving, let's get this assignment done, let's take the promised land for God, and then we can pass the test when we go to the judgment seat of Christ. Do I hear an amen? Amen. And okay, so our descendants are going to possess it. Our families are going to possess it. And those we influence in Christ will possess it. Those we can lead to the Lord will possess it if we do what we're supposed to be doing. Now, what kind of a spirit's God looking for? He's looking for somebody to believe the truth. Right. You know, some people say today there is no such thing as truth, and it's all relative, and whatever the situation, you know, brings up, that's truth. That's nonsense. And unfortunately, that's what is taught in the public schools. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. So if your kids are in the public schools, you better get your act together and you better start teaching them the truth, because they're not going to get it there. And don't depend on the schools to educate your kids, because they won't be educated in how to take the promised land. I'll guarantee you. You can't even pray in school today. It's all multicultural nonsense is what it is, you see. Everybody's the same, and everybody ought to be the same, and everybody ought to be equal, and everybody ought to be this. I got news. It's not that way in heaven. It's not that way in the Bible. I don't know where they get this stuff. But the issue is that God has a certain spirit he's looking for. Look in Hebrews 3:12. Hebrews 3:12. The whole Bible fits together, folks. I've heard people say, well, the Old Testament doesn't mean anything anymore. Just toss that aside and just go to the New Testament. Not true. Not true. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest any of you, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. There it is in verse 14. That doesn't mean if you don't, you're going to hell, but it means this: you're not going to pass the test at the judgment seat of Christ. If we're made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, for who, when they had heard, did provoke God, did not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, to whom swore he they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. In other words, they did not finish their assignment. That's what that means. Doesn't mean they went to hell. If they knew Christ, they went to heaven. But I'll tell you, they're going to have to be retrained when they get there. I keep telling people that. They just stare at me like, what? I'm telling you, that's the way it is. God is not going to let you get away for that stuff when you're with him. And you're going to have to be retrained and miss out a bunch of stuff that God wants for you, which I'm teaching on Sunday night. Well, so there is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He is the truth, and his word is the truth. Now, there is truth, regardless of what anybody says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's truth. You can take the land. There isn't anybody here today that can't take their assignment and complete it. If you come, number one, you have to be saved. Number two, then you have to have your soul saved in the Word of God. Makes that very clear in the Scriptures. Now, what kind of an attitude? Believe the truth. Believe God's Word. Secondly, encourages yourself and encourages others around you. You might get up in the morning and feel terrible. Well, you're going to stay that way? You know, you can complain, oh, I feel terrible, probably terrible the whole day, and probably won't sleep tonight. Well, you've killed that day. I tell you, you have. You get up and start claiming Jesus Christ and start shouting Jesus all over the place. I'll tell you, in 10 minutes, you'll forget how bad it was when you got up.
That's right.
You see, we got to have an attitude. We have an assignment, and we're going to complete it. And don't get bogged down in all this stuff. And with people who get bogged down and are not going to complete their assignment, get away from them, witness to them, but be around people that are going to lift you up, going to be encourage you, and you be an encourager. You see? Now, so those that are partakers of the Lord and keep on partaking of the Lord. Some people think that they get saved, it's going to do them for eternity. I'm sorry, that's not the way it is. You will be saved for eternity, but you need to be charged every day in Christ. You need to get on fire every day for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you this. When a football team wins on Sunday, they don't rest the rest of the week, the next week. Are you listening? They're preparing for the next game. Some of us have forgot there's a game. They forgot we're in it. We don't even know where we're at. We're wandering around and want to know why things are messed up, because you're not in the assignment God's given you, you see. That's it. Now, those that hold on to the end are going to be the ones that complete their assignment, the ones that keep on keeping on as long as they can possibly do it. They go through the tests, they go through the trials, they go through the victories, and realize that Jesus is all in all. They realize what the Bible says is true. Have a soft, humble heart towards the Lord and towards His people. Somebody forgot love His people part. We need to be loving His people, just like Jim said. Jim had to learn to love his sister where she was. Wasn't they sort of any sense in beating on her and criticizing her? What good's that going to do? He needs to be praying for her. He needs to be encouraging her when he can. He needs to be loving her when he can. He needs to be lifting her up when he can. You see, that's what we're here for. We're not to tear people down. We're to lift people up. But we have to be truthful. We don't lie to people. Now, we need to be full of faith, believe, be obedient. We need to tell other people, God's got an assignment for you.
That's right.
Billy Graham or somebody said, God's got a plan for your life, same thing. And that's true, but a lot of people don't believe it. Or they say, when I get my life straightened out, I'll get into the plan of God. When do you think that's going to happen?
Never.
Yeah. How's that working for you so far? You see, that's the issue. And the point is that God does have an assignment. You need to get in it and complete it, because He's going to ask you about it at the end. That's the point. What kind of plan does God have for our lives? Every one of us has a reason to be born on this earth. God had a plan for every single one of you. You think God sent you here just to play around on the earth? I don't think so. God had something better for you lined up in eternity, but we got to do it here first. This has to be taken care of first. You have to go through boot camp first. You heard all these horror stories about boot camp, and you say, boy, I don't want to do that. Well, when you see the beautiful stories on the other side, you say, get me through boot camp. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go, you see. And this time of year is a real challenge to be like Jesus. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's a real challenge. Look in Jeremiah 29:11. These are scriptures you ought to be listening to and learning. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. And it says, you've heard this 100 times, but this is talking to you. This is talking to me. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Now listen, God is thinking about you. Somebody come up with this thing, I don't know where they got it, but they said they figured about every 20 seconds God thinks about you. He's thinking about you all the time.
Right.
Whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, he's still thinking about you.
Right.
I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, is what my Bible says. So God, that says God's had an assignment, and he wants you to end that assignment the way he wanted you to do it so that he can really bless you in eternity. There's crowns, there's rewards, there's all kinds of things in eternity. I'm talking about the crowns tonight and what they are. Some of them are anyway. But here it is. Then he says in verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray with me, and I will hearken. Pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your what?
Heart.
With all your what?
Heart.
You see, it takes diligent attention and work. You just can't sit in a chair and say, God bless me. You got to diligently seek him. You got to get a hold of his train, you see. You got to get on his wagon. He's going someplace. God has a plan. You have to get in on what he's doing. And that's the idea. So, God has a promised land experience for every one of you. Now, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is where the battle begins. They didn't really have a battle in it. The only battle they had in the wilderness was with themselves and their attitude. Are you listening? You got to get beyond that. You got to get rid of your attitude and get in on Christ's plane, and then he's going to take you in the promised land, and there were enemies in that land. It's not heaven. It's the land says, I got this for you. Go in and take it. That's your assignment. That's what he told them. Only two did it. But don't you believe those two are going to be blessed? I believe they are.
Yep.
I believe they'll be ruling and reigning with Christ, don't you? I believe they will. The battle starts in the promised land. The promised land is the plan God has for you in this life. Are you doing it? You see, that's the issue. Some of us don't even know what the plan is. How do you find out? You get in the Word of God. You get in the house of God. You seek God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you start, and you ask God, what's my assignment? Now, I'm going to tell you what the part of the assignment is for everybody in just a minute. Now, okay. Now, so God's given us this promised land. He says we are to take it. Now, let me tell you what the promised land is. It's your work. It's your marriage. It's your finances. It's your ministry. It's your children. It's your grandchildren. Everything we do is the promised land of God. He said, do it with the right attitude. Do it with me in mind. That's your assignment. Now, he assigned some people to go to be a missionary in Cambodia. We just had one here the other day. That was his special assignment. He's not married. He doesn't have a family. He can go over there and live in that primitive situation with no electricity and all that business. And he can live over there in the rough. And that happens to be his assignment. And we all think, well, it isn't really an assignment unless we're a missionary or we're a preacher or Sunday school teacher. Oh, my, that's not it. That's not it. It's everything you do. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. In everything that you do, every relationship, where you work, when you come home with your family, that's your assignment. Now, God may give you some little extra things, like go over and tell your neighbor about Jesus, go to the hospital and visit the sick. Everybody's supposed to do that. That's just little things there also. But the point is, while we're on this earth, we're an ambassador representing Jesus Christ, our Lord, if we're a Christian. And our promised land is this life acting like Jesus. And don't you know we need him to do it?
Big time.
I believe we need the Holy Spirit, you see. And that's it. When I get up in the morning, I'm ready to listen to headquarters, you see. I have a plan for the day, but I tell you, I pray over, I present everything I'm going to do this day to Jesus Christ. I present it to him when I get up and when I'm getting ready to get out. And I present my travel in my car. I present wherever I'm going, if I'm going to the store, if I'm going to meet some friends, if I'm going to work here at the church. I give that all to Jesus Christ. I said, I need your power. I don't want to do it in the flesh. I don't want to do anything that would hinder the work of the kingdom of God. I give when I eat, I pray about that. Everything I do, I pray about that. My individual time with grace, I give that time to the Lord. I pray about that. I am an ambassador, everything I am. It isn't because I'm the pastor, the preacher. It's because I'm in his kingdom. I try not to do anything in my life. I don't want to do anything without the power of God. It doesn't make it just where it is. This is my training ground. This is my training ground. It's so important how I respond to you. Yes, it's important I preach something that's interesting to you and all this kind of thing and do what God wants me to do there. That's my job. That's what I do. But I do everything that way. Are you listening to me? I got an eye on eternity. I'm going to take the promised land now. And I'm going to tell you, my promised land is not how many people I can get in church. My promise is how many people I can love into the kingdom of God. There's a difference, you see. And that's what it's all about. The whole thing is the Lord. Because when you get into eternity, the whole thing's going to be what?
The Lord.
That's it. Time is in eternity, in a sense. It's just a little something God cut out so he could get some people that would follow him so he could take them into eternity and they would obey him and he would love their little toes off. That's it. That's what this whole thing's all about. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. You see. Isn't it wonderful? It makes a lot of this stuff not mean too much. You see. And I want to go back to the Garden of Eden. They didn't have to grow their food. They didn't have to do any of that stuff. All they had to do was rule and reign with Jesus Christ on the earth. The only time they had to start growing their own food and had to start worrying about this and worrying about what they were going to be able to do was when they sinned. And sin is very simply disobeying the voice of God. That's what it is. And Jesus put some things out there. He said, don't do this because it'll mess you up. And he didn't want his kids messed up. Don't you run out in the street. What's wrong with you? Get out of that street. That's for cars. Unless I got your hand. You got it? Don't do that. That's going to mess you up. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be whole. I want you to be strong. I want you to be ruling with me in the kingdom of God. I don't think I can tell you that enough. The whole world is in the same place. God sent everybody that's on this planet. He sent him here for a period of time to do his assignment. A lot of them aren't doing it. In fact, more of them are not going to do it than do it, he said. He did his assignment. We're to do ours. You see. Now I'm going to quit in just a minute. Now. So the point is, I can tell you one assignment that God has for every one of us. It's to represent Him in everything you do. I say everything you do. That's one. Now he might have a special assignment for you. He might want me to preach a word. He might want you to play in the worship thing. He might want you to just sit out in the pew and love Him and go home and do the same thing. We're not leaving God when we leave here. That's the point. You can't leave the assignment. You can't leave it. You may not do it, but you can't leave it. Now, I think it's a good idea to give you, to let God give you, and you'll get this from the Word of God, but let God give you a picture of what your assignment is. I would ask Him for it. Don't you believe a loving father would tell you what the assignment is? Don't you believe he would? Well, yet people don't ask what their assignment is. Other than the basic things we do, you need to ask God, what's my assignment now in this life, at this time in my life? What is my assignment? Besides taking care of my wife if you're married, if you're not married, there's other things that God has you do. You usually work with somebody. That's your assignment. He didn't tell you to go and be like the world. He said, you go and teach the world what God's like. That's your assignment. Teach the world what God is like. By the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you think, by the way you dress, by whatever, though everything you do, you're teaching the world what God is like. Now, if you're honest with yourself and you say, I'm not doing that, then you need to confess that for the Lord and ask Him to help you get started. And we're going to have an invitation. You can do that. You don't have to come down here to do it. You can do it right where you're at. But remember, we've got the Lord's Supper, and it's very important to take the Lord's Supper. Why? God said so. Some people said, I don't need to take the Lord's Supper. Well, okay. God bless you. Let's stand before the Lord.